Hi, this is Cammie Troy, and I'm so excited to be here. I'm senior editor of the Jewish community newspaper Kol Havira, Voice of the Capital. Each episode of Five Questions with Cammie aims to introduce you to a member of the greater Washington Jewish community. I'll be talking to influencers, artists, leaders, people everyone knows, and people who work behind the scenes. I'm interested in bringing you a little taste of the diversity and talent we have in our community. Hi, today I'm here with Dr. Caroline Namro. She is a good friend of mine. She's been living in Kent Mill around the same time that I have, I believe. She is an Oxford-educated pediatrician. She has helped many, many of our friends when we have our emergent problems, especially on Shabbos, but all during the week and all during the year, and we all really appreciate her. I have many, many stories of when Caroline has helped me personally with my kids. My favorite story is when the night before my oldest son's bar mitzvah, one of my other kids had a very bad swollen eye. Her eye was completely shut. And I was nervous about the pictures. That's all I could focus on, was that what was she going to look like in the pictures? I was a totally bad mother because I didn't say, oh, I hope her eye's okay. I just said, oh no, how are her eyes going to look in the pictures? So the next morning, I'd left a message for Caroline late at night, and the next morning she just knocked on my door and came in my house and looked at my daughter, and thank God things were much better at this point. But this is just the kind of thing that Caroline does. She really cares about all of our kids, and when we're in a pinch, she'll help us and kind of calm us down and make sure that everybody's healthy and goes to the right place and gets what they need. So that's how I know Caroline, and she was recently honored at the mikveh dinner for some of these qualities that we see in her, that her compassion and her caring and her community involvement, and I think she's going to tell us a little bit about her involvement with the mikveh Emunah Society here, which is a very important institution here in Kent Mill and for the whole Washington community. And the other thing about Caroline is that in 2002, she became somewhat of a local celebrity when there was a sniper who was attacking in this area. And he attacked very close to our neighborhood in Kent Mill. And it was really, really scary. And I think I'm going to ask her about it and exactly what happened that day. But Caroline's just everywhere helping people all the time. And I'm going to just let her tell you a little bit about herself and about her involvement, where she's been, where she's going, and about her Jewish life here. So, Caroline, thank you so much for being on my show today for Kol Habibra, the Voice of the Capital. And first of all, give me a little bit of background about yourself, where you're from, your bio, your family, and we can get into a couple of specifics after you just give me this overview, please.
So I grew up in Leeds, which is a really beautiful town in the north of England, in a region called Yorkshire. And Yorkshire is famous for the Yorkshire Dales, and it's really beautiful.
What about the Yorkshire pudding? Is that a thing?
Yorkshire pudding is definitely a thing. You have to know how to make Yorkshire pudding. And you have to say it with a Yorkshire accent, you know, Yorkshire pudding. So I can give you the recipe for Yorkshire pudding if you want. It's very good. You eat it with roast beef. It's not a dessert.
Okay.
It's good to know. Yes. So I grew up with Yorkshire pudding. And I have one sister whose name is Grace, and she is a fabulous sister and a fabulous horse rider. And she also hunts. And but they don't actually kill a fox anymore. That's okay. Illegal. Yes. So she's fabulous with animals. And so I just have one sister, and my mother and father and my sister are all still in Leeds. So I try and visit at least once a year. And we did have a little dog growing up. Her name was Jenny. She was very cute. And and she was underwalked and overfed. She was a very Jewish dog.
Yes.
And then I went to university when I was 18. And so I started medical school, because in England, medical school, you start when you're 18.
Yes.
So I went to Oxford, and that's where I met my wonderful husband, Eric. He was a graduate student, so he was a graduate student in English literature. Shakespeare and John Donne, that's his specialty. So all the Shakespeare and all the John Donne books in the house are not actually mine. People think they're mine because I'm British. I'm like, no, I don't read that stuff.
And he's not British, right?
He's not British. He's from Bethesda. So he's the local. So we met at university. I had a fabulous time at university. Tried to be sporty. I tried to row. I rowed very badly. But I had a lot of fun trying.
You have to. When you're at Oxford, you have to row.
Yes, you have to row. And, yeah, it was great. I met some very, very interesting people and people who I'm friends with to this day. And then I moved here and did residency here. And I now I work in two local hospitals. I work at Holy Cross part-time in the pediatric ER and also at Sinai Hospital in Baltimore in the pediatric ER.
Very
and
good.
I have five children, and if you want to know about them, I have five kids. The oldest is 19, and he's right now Shanabet and Gush, and he's going to be joining the IDF in August.
We don't
know which year. Exciting. Mm-hmm. We don't know which unit yet. And the youngest is 7.
Very nice. All right. So do you want to tell us a little bit about that day that you encountered a victim of the sniper?
Yeah, that was a terrible, terrible day. So I was dropping off at the Hebrew Academy. So on the way to the academy, I hadn't put the radio on. I think we had Uncle Moishi in the car. And then
as we all did.
So, you know, I was bopping along to Uncle Moishi. And then we got to the garage, which is on the corner of Connecticut Avenue in Aspen Hill. And I stopped for gas and I had my toddler in the car. That's my second son. And I, as I pulled up, there was a taxi driver who was filling his car with gas. And he was filling his car. The gas tank was under the license plate, which I had never seen before.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it was this. Yeah, so I thought, what is he doing? That's so weird.
Yeah.
So I stopped and I watched what he did. Normally, I would just, you know, get out of the car very fast. But it made me stop and look. And there were only two of us at the gas station. So our cars were parallel, but facing the other way to each other. And so he was filling his car with gas, and then and he looked at me and smiled, and I nodded, and because he probably thought, what is this nosy woman staring at me? And then as I was about to get out, there was a bang, and I thought, well, maybe it was a gunshot, maybe it was an electrical something, I don't know.
You're like a car backfiring.
Yeah. But those thoughts went through my mind very fast.
Yes.
It's instantaneous. So he walked to my car, and the window was open, and he collapsed. He said, call an ambulance. So then I did CPR. And a very nice policeman did stop. He was in the line of traffic, and he also came and helped me. And unfortunately, the taxi driver passed away. And it was a terrible, terrible tragedy. Terrible. And my son was in the car.
Yeah.
And he was not even 2 yet, just under 2. But then later on, what was really disturbing is when I was interviewed by the police, and they have this room, crime scene rooms, all set up once they had found the suspects. They have these big, huge pictures of each crime scene. And they explained to me, and there was a picture of this gas station, that the snipers could actually see me, the way I was parked. So they had a choice, either me behind my windshield, because I hadn't got out of my car.
Oh my
or
gosh.
Mr. Wallacker, who was doing filling the taxi. But he was a cleaner shot because he was out of his car. But if I had got out of my car as fast as I normally do, they would have had the choice. It would have been a harder choice for them. But because I stayed in the car for those few extra seconds, that's what saved my life.
Wow.
So that's really horrifying if you think about it.
Yeah.
Just that split 2 seconds. 2 seconds.
I don't know. I don't think I ever knew that part of the story. Or maybe I'd heard it and it's been 1,000 years, so I don't remember.
Yeah, because they looked through the
finder
on the gun.
That's so scary. Yeah. That's Siyata Dishmaya.
It was. It really was. And that's really horrific.
That's scary. I remember it was so many years ago. I mean, it was, like we just had said, it was 2002, the end of 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pregnant with Ruthie, who's now 14. So it was many years ago already. But,
right.
I mean, you never forget something like that.
And then every year we go to the lights at Glen Allen.
Oh, Brookside Gardens.
Brookside Gardens, excuse me. And they have, so every year, you know, we go look at the lights and then we go to the pond area and they have that memorial.
Yes.
So my kids always like to look at it and they like to look for Mr. Wallacker's name and we remember him. It's sad, but I'm glad that my children, they want to go. They want to go and they want to remember him and thank Hashem that I wasn't killed, but we also think of his family
yeah.
and what trauma they went through.
Yeah, it's so interesting. It's just part of their story forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, on to a slightly cheerier note. Let's talk a little bit. We when we were schmoozing before, we talked about a pretty funny story about... So a lot of times, on, like I said, on Shabbos and Yantif, people need emergent medical care, or they think it, at least they think it's emergent.
Right.
And sometimes it's people from out of town. Mm-hmm. And because you're somewhat of a local celebrity, people know that you're sometimes available to give a little bit of medical advice. So tell me again this story about this Scottish yeah. fellow who came to town on Shabbos.
So I had friends staying with me from Israel, and my friend's originally from the UK, and the husband is originally from Glasgow. So he has a thick Scottish accent. And there was a gentleman in town with a child, and the child was sick. And they asked in the neighborhood... And it was literally the time for lighting candles. So he asked somebody, what do I do with my kid? My kid is sick. And somebody said, just go to that house at the top of the hill there. There's a person there who is a doctor from England. That's all this guy knew. So he came out with a stroller with his sick kid and knocked on my door.
Was this an American guy?
It was an American guy with a sick kid. And so I was literally had just struck the match and was lighting candles. And my Scottish friend, Mark, opened the door. And this guy comes in with a sick kid, and he says, oh, is this the house where there's a doctor? Is this the doctor's house? So my friend, Mark, said, oh, yeah, with his Scottish accent. And so this guy starts telling the story about how his kid is vomiting everywhere, and there's a rash and a fever, and I can't remember exactly the story, but awful things. So Mark was horrified, and he's like, oh, that's awful, that's terrible, that sounds really bad, oh, that's awful. And this guy kept going and going with all these details, and I was trying to concentrate on lighting candles. And then at the end of this, you know, huge story about the kid being sick, there was silence, and each guy looked at each other, and the American guy looks at my friend Mark, and he says, well, what are you going to do about it? So my friend Mark says, oh, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. She's the doctor.
I love that.
So I can't remember what happened. I think the child was fine. Everything was fine.
Of course.
Yeah. I think he thought that was an English accent. He didn't realize it was a Scottish accent that he was talking to. So that was very cute.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that's just one of a thousand stories of Caroline Namro and her willingness to help others, and it's very inspiring for all of us. So I just wanted to ask you quickly, so how long have you been in Washington in this area?
I've lived here about 17 years now.
And what do you appreciate most about this community?
So what I like about this community is that it's quite diverse, and I feel that it's very cohesive at the same time.
Mm.
So I feel I have friends who are across the spectrum. I really appreciate that. And I feel that the community works very well as a group as a whole. And I don't feel that there are many divisions within the community. So more left-wing people, more right-wing people, just all friends together. So I really enjoy that about this community.
Yes, I think that's very unique. I mean, from what I've heard from other people, that it's people tend to be a little bit more exclusively sticking to their kind, mm-hmm. so to speak. And I also think that it's very nice to be able to have a wide range of friends. So I agree with you on that. Tell me a little bit about your involvement. We talked a little bit about your involvement with the mikvah, and
mm-hmm.
I know that you're passionate about this subject. So tell me a little bit about this passion and how you've been involved with the building of this mikvah and the maintenance and maintaining the mikvah here.
So I got involved with the mikvah several years ago, and I was helping to raise the funds to build the new mikvah. I'm on the board, but people have to remember that there are actually two mikvahs that we run, and you know, the Woodside one as well as the Kemp Mill one,
mm-hmm.
and it costs a lot of money to run mikvahs.
Yes,
and there's a lot of maintenance that people forget about. You know, the heating bill, or what if a heater breaks, or the roof needs to be replaced, or the steps are leading into the mikvah are cracked, and that, you know, there's all the tiles are coming off, so there's all the maintenance that you would expect you have in your own home. So we have it in two facilities. And so we need to raise a lot of funds on an annual basis. We don't charge per dunk. We don't charge exactly what it costs us because we feel that we want to keep the prices low. We don't want it to be prohibitive. And obviously, if somebody says they can't afford it, we would never turn anybody away.
And you want to encourage people to, do the mitzvah.
Right.
Yeah.
And all the mikveh attendants are fabulous and really trained to a very high standard. And we really want to encourage people to use the community mikvehs. And but we have, you know, we have to pay our bills. Mm-hmm. So for the last several years, I guess the biggest role that I have taken in the mikveh society is the running the dinners, which is the most, I guess, apart from the mikveh building itself, is the most public face of running the mikveh society.
Yes.
What many people do is really behind the scenes. And so the mikveh dinner is kind of, people hear about it. But I think what people should realize is that if everybody was, if every family in our communities were paid membership to be a member of the mikveh, we wouldn't actually have to run a dinner. And so I wouldn't have to beg people every year, please come to the dinner, please come to the dinner.
Everybody. You just had a public service announcement.
Yeah. Everybody, please join. You know, and we really need all age groups, you know, mm-hmm. to join, not just people who are younger and, you know, people who are still paying school fees, but the whole, you know, spectrum, you know, should consider it part of their charity. You know, you are supposed to sell a Sefer Torah in order to have a mikvah. And that, to me, that speaks volumes,
mm-hmm.
that really it's such an important mitzvah that you have to sell a Sefer Torah. Who would have thought of such a thing?
Yes. Yeah. And that you build a mikvah before you build anything else.
Right. So that is that's the foundation of a strong community.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, great. So I think that that's all my questions except my last question, which is one of my favorites. And you have come totally prepared for this question. Yeah. So I'm very appreciative of that.
Yeah.
So the last question of the day, Dr. Namro, is what are you reading? Let's take a look.
So I tend to read a lot of things all at once, you know, and sometimes if Eric's reading something interesting, then I steal his book. And so right now I have an interesting mixture. I'm finishing a book by Bill Bryson called Mother Tongue, which is about the development of the English language. Mm-hmm. I love Bill Bryson. Mm-hmm. I like anything that makes me laugh.
He's very funny.
Yeah,
yes.
He's hilarious. And I usually have a couple of Jane Austens hanging around because I just really love reading Jane Austen.
So which one are we on?
On my nightstand, I have Emma and Pride and Prejudice.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And because I'm from Yorkshire,
yes,
I really like books about Yorkshire. So I really love James Herriot. Who I don't know if anybody's ever read James Herriot, but you should read James Herriot.
I've definitely heard of him, but
he's
I haven't
so
read him.
He's so funny. All the stories are true.
He's funny.
So
okay.
funny.
All right.
And they're true stories about his life as a vet in the North Yorkshire. And they're based like from his life from the 30s,
mm-hmm.
30s, 40s, and 50s, being a vet. And the stories that he tells are they're just hilarious. And the way he describes the countryside and the people and what the buildings look like and the accent, because a Yorkshire accent, you know, it's quite a strong love, you know. If I talk like this, nobody would know it was me. They think I'm another person, love. So that's actually not such a strong, it's quite strong for an American, that's the strong Yorkshire accent, but there are, you know, get thee down here. You know, got a pig once, piggin, all these sorts of things. It's funny. So you'll just laugh out loud with those books. We are getting a dog. We're getting a sheep-a-doodle because they don't shed. Because Old English, it's a mixture of an Old English sheepdog and mm-hmm. a poodle. So
okay.
both breeds don't shed. So I'm reading a book about dog training right now. Zach George's Dog Training Revolution.
Yes.
And, yep. And then I'm reading a very interesting book by Philip Sands, who is a human rights lawyer from the UK. And it's called East West Street on the Origins of Genocide and Crimes Against Humanity. And it's a very, very interesting book. It's basically a narrative of his family's history during the Holocaust. And it's the history of Hirsch Lauterpacht, who is a professor of international law and human rights from Lvov, and also Raphael Lemkin, also from Lvov. Lemkin was the person who invented the word genocide, because before 1941, there was no word for genocide.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
So the word genocide, he made it up from the Greek word genos, meaning race, and the Latin side, meaning killing.
Yeah.
And he defined it as the destruction of a nation or an ethnic group. So anyway, so he put pressure on the American legal team who was prosecuting the Nazi criminals during the Nuremberg trials. He put pressure on the American legal team to put the crime of genocide into play at Nuremberg. And then it was adopted in 1948 by the UN. Mm. So it's a very interesting book about this guy's personal family history and these two great legal minds. So I really, I'm enjoying that right now.
Wow, you have a whole diverse group of reading over there. That's very interesting. So, all right, Caroline, Dr. Namro, thank you so much for being on my podcast. This is actually, I don't count my first podcast exactly as my first podcast because it was actually with my husband. So you're my first real guest. So thank you so much. And
I'm very honored.
I will see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.